Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob's wife, Dana Siegel, and I have the privilege of hosting Bob's show tonight. I am very grateful that Bob donates time from his show once a year to promote a very special ministry called From Grief to Gladness. This is a ministry that helps women find healing from the devastation of experiencing abortion. If you've had an abortion or multiple abortions, I know from experience that this is a really difficult topic to listen to. I know you may be having a strong reaction in this very moment. You may feel angry at me for even talking about it. You may even have a physical reaction to what I am saying. That's exactly how I felt for many years whenever I heard the word abortion. It simply took me out. I will be sharing some of my story tonight, including how I found healing, how I got involved in this ministry, and how Bob played a significant role in helping me find God's forgiveness and healing after almost 30 years of silence about a choice I'd made as a young adult. If you are tempted to turn the show off now just because of the topic, please stay with me because you will find hope and reassurance by the end of the show. There is healing from pain and the devastation that abortion causes in our lives. I didn't think I could find healing at all after choosing abortion, but that was not true. It took me a long time, but I did finally find there is forgiveness and healing and restoration through God's love, mercy, and grace for me. Those of us who have chosen abortion survive it by not thinking about it, not talking about it, and not allowing ourselves to feel the pain of our choice. You are not alone, and what you are feeling right now is very real, but there are ways to get past that pain and the wounding. So again, it is my hope and prayer that this show encourages you and assures you of how much God loves you and your baby. You do not need to continue carrying your pain any longer. If you are a listener who has not experienced abortion, I ask you to stay with us as well, because it is very likely that you know several people who have chosen abortion. You just don't know who they are, because very few women or men ever talk about it. It is a choice that results in silence, and it has historically been an unspoken topic in our society. Additionally, we're not aware that we need to grieve this loss, nor does society really allow us to grieve something that we chose. The shame is so great that most post-abortion people suffer in silence, and that silence causes further harm. Psalm 32:3 says, "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away." When we don't talk about our sins and the things that we chose that cause harm, they grow in us like a cancer. They can even make us physically sick. I thought I was handling my abortion past as long as I didn't talk about it or think about it. However, during that same time in my life, I developed a severe eating disorder and other self-harming behaviors. I didn't connect how those outcomes related to the choice of abortion until many years later. It wasn't until I met Bob in 2010, when he took me through the healing process, that I realized how much of my past was causing harm to my mind and my heart and my soul. I didn't even realize how much I was struggling with my past. Imagine almost 30 years of keeping the secret of abortion from everyone until I met Bob. I will share more details about my healing experience in a few minutes. There is some good news and bad news about the abortion statistics in the last few years. Good news first. The abortion rate has been steadily declining in our country over the last several years. In 1973, when Roe v. Wade made abortion legal in our country, there were approximately 616,000 legal abortions that year. In 1980, that more than doubled to 1,304,000 abortions, and they have remained over 1 million babies lost for several years after that. Eventually, in 1997, there was a significant drop to 884,000 abortions, which is still so many children. In 2010, there were 730,000 abortions in our country, still going down. And in 2018, there were 620 abortions, which is half of what it was in 1980. And it is very close to the number of the first year when Roe v. Wade came in. It took almost 40 years for us to see the number of annual abortions be cut in half. So it is going down slowly, but we still have a long way to go. More good news is that our general population continues to become more and more pro-life minded. And finally, younger people are tending to be more pro-life than their parents. The bad news is there is still a lot of inconsistency in reporting the numbers of abortions, and not all states even report. California is one of the handful of states that does not report abortions to the CDC, and we're a large state. One independent source estimates that California accounts for 18% of the abortions in our country. However, they don't even show up in the total U.S. abortion statistics. More bad news, the CDC's annual numbers of abortions are significantly lower than most independent research institutions. There are many reasons to account for this, but tonight I'm not going to go into that detail. The most difficult piece of news is that we still have a large number of abortions each year in this country. Let's go back to what I said a little earlier, that you probably know several people who've had an abortion, but they are remaining silent. In 2018, only 45% of our country was known by either a close friend or a family member after they chose abortion. To be more precise, only 18% of the women who chose abortion told the family member. That's a pretty low number. And only 27% of the women who chose abortion 2 years ago told a close friend. More close friends know about a choice than family members. I think there's something wrong with that. So that means there are 55% of the women who have chosen abortion in this country 2 years ago that are carrying that burden alone, probably filled with deep regret and guilt, and they have no one to talk to. There is still so much secrecy, which is adding to the devastation of this choice. A woman feels like she can't share why she keeps crying, or feels sad and depressed, or she can't be happy when her best friend or cousin announces they're pregnant, or she starts down the road of addiction. It makes perfect sense when you finally process the pain and the shame of that choice. But while you're in it, it doesn't make sense at all. What causes further pain are the insensitive comments people make around the water cooler or in conversations, not realizing that they're talking about the person standing right next to them. And then that drives a woman farther into secrecy so that no one will ever understand. Many women who choose abortion feel they do not have a choice. Unable to see the options, they are panicking for several reasons. Bottom line, at least in my experience, I was not thinking clearly or able to process the solution that would keep a baby because I was afraid of what my parents and my church community would think about me. I so wish I could turn back the hands of time and make a different choice. When I was halfway through college, earning my bachelor's degree and a teaching credential, I found myself pregnant as a single woman. I worked with elementary children after school, caring for them. I was a youth group leader for our church's high school group, and I worked at a large Christian camp every summer during college. I was a role model, an upstanding citizen, a leader in the community, and in my church. At least that was when I had my Christian mask on. I absolutely could not see how my church would understand, let alone accept me, how a Christian camp could handle this situation. And most importantly, I did not believe my parents would be able to handle the situation as they were leaders in the church as well. I really did believe I had no choice. And so, incorrectly, I assumed if I quietly had an abortion, the unwanted pregnancy would be over and I would be able to continue my life as planned and no one would ever know. The abortion clinic even said it was a routine procedure and I could resume my normal life the next day. I would have an abortion one day, go back to my normal life the next day. My life was never normal again. The decision of abortion put into motion so much devastation in my life. Out of that devastation, God created an amazing retreat called From Grief to Gladness. It is a life-changing retreat for women who have experienced abortion, and it is coming in just a few weeks. We meet from Friday at dinner till Sunday at noon. When I chose abortion, the statistics showed that 1 out of 3 women has had an abortion in the United States. That is still a shocking number to me. That means 1 in every 3 women has experienced an abortion. A few years ago, it moved to 1 in 4, and we may be close to 1 in 5 women choosing abortion now. So the numbers are going in the right way, but that's still a lot of women carrying around this situation. It is much more common choice in this country than most people realize. But since nobody talks about it because it's too difficult to talk about, and the woman is desperately trying to forget so she doesn't have to face the pain, it remains a secret. It is a secret that many women and men carry, and I'm sure you're beginning to understand now why I say that you probably know several people who've had an abortion. They just haven't revealed it to you. I would say the greatest myth about abortion is that it is a simple medical procedure. It is anything but simple. The truth about abortion is that it causes great devastation to the man or the woman, not to mention the loss of a child. People do often say it's a political issue, it's a woman's rights issue, it's a constitutional right, my body, my choice. But what most people don't know is that many women are profoundly hurt and changed by the choice to have an abortion. Many women feel like they had no choice. We need to get the real truth out about abortion and how much it really impacts a person. Jennifer O'Neill is a famous actress and cover girl, and she wrote a book in 2005 called You're Not Alone. In that book, she shares about her abortion experience and the aftermath from that decision. Here are some of the statistics that she has shared in her book. 85% of the women that said their decision to abort their baby had a great impact on their life. 78 report that their self-image has changed since the abortion. 85% struggle with guilt and self-condemnation over abortion. 67% thought their life would stay the same after abortion. 78% thought the emotional pain they felt over abortion would lessen over the years, but it has only gotten stronger. 73% of the women said that their abortion experience as a whole was the biggest mistake of their life. All those statements I just shared are true for me and my abortion experience. My self-image changed drastically. I felt great guilt and condemnation. I didn't even know how the idea of abortion was going to impact my life at all. I really did believe I would go back to my normal life the next day. And the pain of my decision did only increase over time. Abortion is definitely the biggest mistake in my life and my biggest regret. In our healing retreat and our Bible study, we have a great book that we use. It's called Healing the Hurt, and it's by Terry and Paul Reiser. It was published by Focus on the Family in 2010, and it just lists some of the signs of stress and some of the symptoms that women experience. And I'm just going to share this quickly with you so that you have some insight. Again, I'm hoping that even if you've never experienced abortion or you don't know of anyone, that you are listening, because this is information that helps you understand. For those that have had an abortion, I hope this is reassuring you that you're not alone and that what you're experiencing is very normal. And there are many signs of stress that develop after an abortion experience. They can develop immediately or they can take many years. They can exhibit themselves unexpectedly and without warning. The signs of stress can affect a woman in one or more of the following ways: physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Some of the significant signs of stress are guilt from violating your own sense of morality, self-destructive behaviors like eating disorders, substance abuse, promiscuity, abusive relationships, re-experiencing events related to the abortion, anxiety that leads to physical complaints, headaches, stomach aches, muscle tightness, and difficulty sleeping, numbing psychologically, depression, which may affect your mood, uncontrollable crying, poor self-concept, sleep and appetite disturbances, loss of normal pleasure, and possibly thoughts of suicide, preoccupation with becoming pregnant again, anxiety over fertility or barrenness, trouble bonding with other children or adults, anniversary reactions of your abortion. That is not a small list. It's not a light list. With many of the women I've worked with, they've experienced a number of those signs of stress. My story continues with an encounter almost 30 years later that led to my healing. I met Bob Siegel. Bob is a pastor, Christian apologist, radio talk show host, missionary, author of many great books, and a brilliant playwright. I met Bob at Skyline Church after he'd preached one Sunday. Eventually, we started dating, and I was going to just be friends with Bob forever because I had this secret, awful past that I could never reveal to him. I certainly couldn't be married to him as a pastor with my past. Pastors didn't marry women like me. We dated for several months, and I could see that Bob was getting more and more serious. So I came to the realization that I had to share my past. As I was driving to Bob's house that night, I truly believed I was going there to break up with him because he wasn't going to be able to accept my past and continue loving with me. And I believed he had the right to do that. I thought, I'll drive to his house as his girlfriend, and I'll drive home a single woman full of shame. It was an intense experience for me because all I could do was cry for a very long time before I could speak. After holding the pain in for close to 30 years, there was a lot of emotion that had been stuffed. Poor Bob just sat there waiting patiently, while I cried tears of shame and sadness and fear and hopelessness. When I could finally speak, I confessed my past. And then I cried some more. Bob's reaction was nothing like what I anticipated. He was compassionate, he was kind, and he was tender. And his first comment was, "I can see you've never had healing for your abortion." That was a completely confusing thought to me. I thought, he didn't even hear what I just said. There is no healing for abortion. I did not understand that God could forgive every sin, even abortion. I had to put abortion in another category that was unforgivable, mostly because my pain was so great, I didn't know how to let go of it. Bob started taking me through an inner healing process over the next few months that completely changed me. I was able to receive God's forgiveness in my mind and my heart. I could feel God's mercy and His grace pouring over me. And I began to feel the pain of choosing abortion so many years ago begin to dissipate. My night of confession turned into a journey of healing and restoration. I thank God for His amazing grace and His love for me. And I thank God that He brought a man like Bob into my life to show me the way. I drove home that night as Bob's girlfriend, and it was truly a miracle that I didn't think was possible. Sometimes laying down burdens can be really hard. I continue to be overwhelmed by God's grace and how far He has brought me, and just how grateful for what He has done for me. And I am happy to say I did not stay the perpetual friend with Bob that I thought I would be. After former years of friendship, healing, and learning how to trust, Bob and I did marry. In God's kingdom, when you confess your sins to Him, He does forgive you and He remembers them no more. What a blessing to know that I am truly forgiven for my past choices. And God brought a kindly, godly man into my life to show me what was true love. I now know a pastor can marry even a woman like me. And truth be told, I'm really not that woman anymore, because God has renewed me with His righteousness, and now I walk free from the labels I put on myself for so many years. Do you want to get rid of your labels? I hope this message is touching your heart and you will consider coming to the retreat so I can show you how God can forgive you, help you heal, and restore you to the fullness that He has intended for you. Psalm 34:4 says, "I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all of my fears." From Grief to Gladness is a weekend retreat that is coming. It is a powerful weekend for women who have experienced abortion and want to receive God's forgiveness and feel the power of being healed and restored from that choice. The retreat is held in a beautiful setting in Pine Valley that is welcoming and confidential. The women who attend this retreat always report that the weekend was not only healing and powerful, but they wish they had done it sooner. By the end of the weekend, women have learned how much God loves them, and He has been waiting for them to heal and restore them and bring them into His righteousness. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "It is for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works." We also explain that there is nothing they can do to atone for the sin of abortion. We must simply receive God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ, who took all of our sins, including abortion, with Him to the cross. We see how going through the healing process has changed women's lives, their relationships with God and others, their self-esteem, their joy, and so much more. Here is a letter from one of our women that wrote after the retreat, and I think she expresses well what she experienced. "Dear leadership team, I am still reeling after learning this weekend just how crippling and all-consuming the consequence of abortion has been in my life. To acknowledge that my Christian walk had been grossly undermined, limited, and even derailed completely for years breaks my heart. The magnitude of my denial over what had happened had been so pervasive. I don't believe that without this ministry, I could have heard God's urgent call to honesty and the resulting healing that came. thank you does not seem adequate in light of the great compassion you all showed to me in so many different ways. You collectively ushered me to the very foot of the cross. God had been waiting for me with outstretched arms to accept me and to console me. I could never have imagined that. I will continue to pray for this critical ministry as it grows to touch countless more daughters of the King who are unaware of the bondage of their buried grief. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you for all that you did for me and the retreat, and my life has been changed forever because I have been set free. I have been restored at last. I have truly been given beauty for ashes. Gratefully yours, our sister. That's just one woman's expression of what she experienced being at the retreat. And I am just so grateful that she shared that letter with us and that she expressed her feelings about what was happening in her life. I did want to share a little more of my story. As I earlier shared, Bob took me through a healing process that had several components. One of the last things I did was write letters to my babies, which took several days to accomplish. I also had experienced miscarriage after my first daughter was born, and so it was important to go through a grieving process for any loss, especially a significant loss like abortion or miscarriage. My plan was to go to the beach alone one Sunday after church with my letters and read them to God and to my babies to seal my healing. The beach had always been a very soothing, God-filled place, restoring me, and I thought it would be a perfect setting for me to read my letters to God. Well, that Sunday, I had scheduled to go to the beach. It was torrential rains all morning. We could even hear the pounding on the roof of the auditorium during church service. It was so loud. It was the kind of rain that when you stepped out in it, you'd be drenched in a minute. I leaned over to Bob and said, I'm going to go to Mount Helix instead of the beach. I didn't think it would be safe to drive the 15, 20 minutes to the beach in this crazy downpour. Mount Helix was only about 3 miles, and it would be a much safer drive in this weather. So I drove up to the top of Mount Helix, which has a 360-degree view of San Diego, and all of San Diego can look up to the top of Mount Helix and see the huge white cross that stands alone at the top. No one else was there that day, and I think I was a little crazy for being there myself, but I did have an appointment with the Lord. I took beach towels and a golf umbrella from my car, and I hiked up to the top of the hill. I sat on a rock wall about 15 feet from the foot of the cross. I wrapped in towels and had the blanket over me, and I read my letters out loud. As I sat there alone with God, it was as if he was washing me symbolically with the rain. I felt the pain, the shame, and the guilt, and the sadness of my choice flowing away with the water running down the hill. I believe God arranged that unprecedented torrential rain just for me. That pummeling rain drove me to the foot of the cross to remind me that Jesus willingly did for me on the cross, which also covered my choice of abortion. God symbolically washed me and cleansed me from a destructive past. As I sat there in the downpour, I felt the great weight of pain and shame that I had carried for years being lifted up and taken away. It really literally felt as if heavy chains were being taken off of me. What an experience. God had a much better plan for sealing my healing journey than I did. That was a magnificent opportunity that he took me to. It is really important that you go through stages of grieving for this loss. It's important you don't just keep pushing it down and try to forget it. It won't be forgotten, and the pain of abortion will eventually demand a response from you. In our Bible study, Forgiven and Set Free, we process the stages of grief, denial, anger, depression, and acceptance as it relates to our experiences. We also spend a lot of time discussing God's character, his forgiveness, his grace, and his healing. It is a 10-week Bible study. My dear friend Stephanie is the main teacher for this Bible study, and she is just a gifted teacher. Between the retreats and the Bible studies, we have worked with more than 100 women. Each of these women has an amazing story of healing and restoration, and I just feel so honored that God allows me to know women's stories, their deepest secrets, and to watch them be able to release those things to move forward in much more fullness in their lives. It is incredible to watch women who have carried this tremendous guilt and shame of their past just walk free from it. They often go from being really closed down emotionally to being vibrant, happy women. It really is like we get to watch them transform in front of us. I have a letter from the woman that just completed our last Bible study, and she has given me permission to share her words. I believe this will really touch you. And again, if you are someone who has experienced abortion, listen to what she got out of it and consider joining us in our next Bible study. It says, "Dear Stephanie," that's my co-teacher, "and co-leaders, I am hoping that you can forward this email message to all of your leadership team. I have searched and searched for the right words to express the depths of my gratitude for all of you, and I can't actually find the right words, but only an abundant amount of love and appreciation that I feel in my heart when I think about you ladies. This group has already brought me more clarity and peace around life choices than I ever thought possible. It's amazing to me how much I compartmentalized and buried my attempt to create life that I believe God wants for me to find my purpose, all the while carrying this enormous shame, fear, and guilt. Last night was also a reminder of how blessed I am that God sent me an angel, my husband, when I needed him most. I have been praying that God will work a miracle in my marriage and make me more affectionate wife, and I know he is doing just that. After walking through just the tip of the iceberg that I shared with you last night, I am reminded of what has kept me guarded for so many years, but no longer serves me. The fact that I have found a group of the most graceful, loving, kind, supportive, Christ-inspired, empathetic ladies to walk with me through this journey leaves me so humbled and grateful. You are not only helping me to heal, just sharing my testimony released 1,000 pounds off of my chest, but you are also giving me the sense of belonging at our church, and I thank you from the absolute bottom of my heart. With love, your sister in Christ." And that was a really special thing because this woman shared later that she didn't feel like she belonged in the church or had friends there until she did this Bible study, and then she felt like she had a home. And she'd been attending the church for a long time. But again, that's what we do to ourselves, is we tell ourselves that we can't be connected. We don't have a right to that because of our choices of the past. As women who have had an abortion past, we believe that the sin is the greatest sin of all. And so we carry so much guilt and condemnation. I truly did believe that I could never be forgiven for it because I thought it meant that I wouldn't have cared about my unborn child. However, Romans 3:23 states, "There is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Jesus didn't die for just some sins. He died for all of our sins. And beyond that, our babies are safe in heaven with our Heavenly Father. They have been taken care of by the King of Kings since they left us from this earth. So be encouraged. We will see our children again in heaven. We do have a retreat coming up in just a few weeks, and I know some have asked, well, why is it important that women spend time with other women who have experienced abortion? Why is that so important to the healing process? Well, because this is a topic and an experience that goes deep into the soul of a woman. It cuts to the core of the woman's heart. Being able to share your past with someone who has experienced the emotions that you felt and continue to feel and hear that they have similarities in their stories brings much healing. I know some women feel that their background is too much to share. I've even had women apologize to me before they started sharing their story, thinking that they were going to share something that was going to be so shocking or unbelievable or untrue. And I can tell you, I have heard many, many stories, well over 120 stories. And nothing shocks me. God loves us, ladies, through all of our pasts, all of our traumas, our hurts, our dysfunctions, our addictions. He loves us, and he's waiting to restore and heal us. If you think that you should be at this retreat this year, we would love to have you join us. The retreat is called From Grief to Gladness. We do want to exchange the pain that we've been carrying for the joy that God promises to us. And it will be in 5 weeks, April 22nd through the 24th. The retreat is at Pine Valley Bible Conference Center, which is only about a 25-minute drive from El Cajon in a beautiful setting in the trees. The cost for the entire weekend is $110, which includes 5 meals, starting from Friday night dinner to Sunday at noon. Your housing is all covered, all the retreat materials, and the gifts. If that even sounds like too much to you, we do not want you to miss this retreat because of money. We do have scholarships available if there is a financial need. We have generous donors, which allow us to give these scholarships, and we want to make sure that money is not a reason that a woman doesn't attend the retreat. Just let me know, and we will work it out. You will find more information on Bob's website tomorrow, and you can find that at bobsiegel.net, S-I-E-G-E-L. Or you can even go to the Skyline website and contact me through their email. My email at Skyline is dsiegel, S-I-E-G-E-L, at skylinechurch.org. You can go there, look even on the website for the tab that says Forgiven and Set Free, and you can email me through that site as well. We hope we have several women who are listening join us this year for the retreat. Sharing this radio show with someone that you know is still hurting over an abortion choice would be an amazing gift. The space is limited, so please inquire soon if you would like to attend or someone you know would benefit from attending. We started these special radio shows 8 years ago when the first From Grief to Gladness retreat was scheduled, and this one coming up will be our 7th annual retreat. Our weekend theme is all about how God will take our brokenness, our failures, our past sins, even our abortions, and trade it for His beauty, love, healing, and restoration. We call this God's divine exchange. Isaiah 61:3 is our weekend theme. It goes like this: to grant those who mourn, giving them a garland or a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so that they will be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. We have 8 women who are leading and serving in this ministry. We call them serving women. It is such an honor to know them and work with them as we support others through this difficult process of healing. All of our serving women have had one or more abortions, so they are able to completely relate to the range of emotions, regret, shame, and condemnation a woman feels after experiencing abortion. They will be able to give you so many examples of God's amazing healing power. If God is prompting you in your heart right now, or there's even a little bit of wishing you could feel the relief and the healing that I've been describing in this show, please do not ignore that. If you have been listening to this show and you know you have never processed your abortion past, please take a leap of faith. Ask God for the courage to attend the retreat and give me a call or email. I will want to know you. I will want to walk alongside you and seek God's healing and be able to celebrate the victories He is going to give you. You and I will go through this journey together. You are my new friend, and I am just waiting to meet you. Again, you can reach me at bobsiegel.net or dsiegel at skylinechurch.org. Don't hesitate, just do it. I promise you, you will not regret it. And no woman we have ever worked with has ever regretted the choice of attending the retreat or the Bible study. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show, and I will be back to share a few more closing thoughts with you in a moment. Listen to this customer review of Bob Siegel's novel, Choice of the Lorelei. I saw this play on which the story is based many years ago. Elements of it have stayed with me over the years as it expanded my imagination about how things might have been in ancient times. It was also very exciting to see this story intersecting with the other works by the author. Very different stories, yet linked by a common element. I can hardly wait for more. Choice of the Lorelei, available in ebook or print copies from Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. This is Dana Siegel, And I get the privilege of welcoming my husband, Bob Siegel, to his show today to join me for this last segment.
It's always exciting to be a guest on my own show. Yeah. It's a dream come true. I've always wanted to be a guest on this show.
Yes. And so you do get to do that tonight. Thank you for joining me in, sweetheart.
Thank you for the wonderful job you did in the show up to now.
Thank you so much. And I so appreciate that you donate this time on air for us to be able to get the word out about this ministry and let women know about this. It's just so important. So thank you for that. We very much appreciate it.
Oh, well, it's very important. My pleasure.
Thank you. So as you heard in the earlier segment, I was talking about the inner healing process that you took me through. And I still can remember how I felt when you said to me, I can see you've not received any healing. I truly was stunned by that because I really didn't believe there was healing for this. I couldn't even imagine that. And then you proceeded to take me through a process over the next several months to just help me deal with this topic and really be able to finally receive God's forgiveness and His grace. So can you just share a little bit about what that healing process looks like?
Well, in your case, you had accepted in your mind that God had forgiven you, but I could see that you had not forgiven yourself.
I knew it intellectually, yes, but my heart was
so
not there.
A lot of it was about you forgiving yourself, but there are other kinds of healing that people need to go through. Now, one of the recurring themes on this program is I've mentioned that Jesus came not only to deliver us from sin we've committed ourselves and forgive us from sin we've committed ourselves, but He wants to deliver us from sin committed against us. Sometimes there are traumas that people have when they're children, which God in His mercy will allow them to forget because they're things little children shouldn't have to deal with. But even though we may forget the memory, the emotions that came with the memory never go away. God in His mercy may take that file from the front shelf and put it on a back shelf. But as people become adults and they now have the analytical mind of an adult and they could now handle what happened to them and interpret what happened to them, painful as it may be, and any kind of surgery is painful. You go through a physical surgery, it's painful. You go through an emotional surgery, it's painful. It's very necessary. And as an adult now, they're free to remember the experience. So what I will do is pray over them and ask for the Spirit of God to help them remember it. Now, I need to give an important disclaimer before I go on, because there are a lot of quacks in the field of psychology. And there is such a thing as false memory regression. So let me be very clear. I'm not going up to somebody and saying, oh, I know that such and such happened to you as a child, and whether you remember it or not, it happened. No, I'm not talking about that. That would be completely irresponsible if I said something like that. I'm talking about them themselves just really, truly, honestly remembering it. But how would I know that there might be something they need to remember? Because there are times when people will come to me. I counseled a woman one time. She said, my entire year in the seventh grade, I don't remember one thing that happened to me in the seventh grade. Okay, if she told me she didn't remember anything that happened to her when she was 4 or 5, that would be natural. But the seventh grade? She didn't remember anything. So we started praying about it, and all of a sudden, things started coming back to her, and it turned out that when she had been little, she had been molested. Mm. Now, I know some are listening right now and go, well, why is it important for somebody to remember something like that? That's horrible. Isn't it good that you forgot? Because the horrible feelings that came with it never go away. And it could be about a molestation. It could be somebody that was physically abused in another way. It could be another kind of abuse. It could be parents that just didn't show them the love and concern. It could be feelings of abandonment. I talked to a guy one time. His mother had left him alone on his birthday. He was like 6 years old. He spent the whole day alone, and she was late from work, and she never even called him, never planned a party. That was a trauma. There's any one of a number of things that it could be, but if we don't remember it, then we go around with this guilt, and we think we're this horrible person. And unfortunately, with Christians and their doctrine about sin and the sin nature, yes, God wants us to understand that we've sinned, but He doesn't want you to go around with your head low saying, I'm scum of the earth. There's nothing good in me whatsoever. Sometimes it's not a matter of what you did. Sometimes it's a matter of what was done to you. Jesus not only died on the cross to forgive us our sins, He rose from the dead to bring us to a resurrected kingdom where there will be no more abuse. There will be no more stealing or murder or disease. In the Bible, when they're casting demons out, sometimes those demons had people's memories and minds in a fog. So we see precedents for this in the Bible. So we're talking about a complete deliverance, and it's not just sin we've committed, but sin committed against us. But whether it's something that we did and we need to forgive ourselves, or something somebody did to us and we need to forgive them, I take them through a process of healing. Let's say somebody already remembers what happened, but the person has passed away. I'll still have them confront that person as if the person is still there. I'll role play it and have them talk to me as if I'm that person. You see, Dana, a lot of times we tell people that they need to forgive, and people will go through the motions of forgiveness, but they haven't really forgiven the person because they feel a lot of anger. Well, they should. They've been violated. They've been abused. And the anger needs to come out. The Bible doesn't say that anger is a sin. The Bible says that what we do with anger is a sin. Fits of rage are a sin. Getting angry with somebody in our family when somebody at work made us angry is a sin. Holding anger inside and letting it become bitterness is a sin. But expressing anger at the source is not a sin. And what people need to do is say, I do not excuse you for what you did. I did some shows just a couple of months ago on the difference between forgiving and excusing. Forgiveness is not excusing. We need to say, I do not excuse you for what you did. What you did was wrong. It gave me a lot of undue pain. I feel a lot of anger. However, now that I've expressed to you how horrible what you did to me is, I am now free to forgive you because now you've gotten it off of your chest and you're not bitter anymore. You can go through all that kind of healing even if you remember. But sometimes something like that happened to them and they don't even remember. So we need to deal with the memory first. So there are different things we're talking about when we're talking about healing, but it's usually going over something that took place in the past.
And I know that for the women that we're working with, there are so many things that these women have experienced and variations of their stories and a lot of similarities. But I think one of the things that we do is we tend to disregard how we do feel about things. I think sometimes we don't allow ourselves to be upset or we're confused. It's a displaced situation because you haven't put the pieces together. You just know that something isn't right, but you don't make the connections. I did not make connections about my abortion past until you took me through that process. I thought that my eating disorders and my self-harming behaviors were disconnected. Well, when I went through the healing process, I discovered they were actually very much in line, and it was a part of the way I was trying to atone and fix things up, is trying to control something else. So I think a part of this healing is understanding how things have impacted you, how your emotions are being affected, your soul, your mind, and then sorting that out, letting God put it in order so that you can get it in the right perspective. I think the enemy loves to keep us confused about how we feel about things. I know I felt guilty about not wanting to listen to everything my parents said. I felt great guilt over that. I thought I should have been listening. I should be honoring them. And yet that was a whole thing I had to process, was how come I was having such a hard time with that. So there were things even way back to my childhood that were a part of the things we processed. I think one of the things that keeps women, at least in this ministry, from seeking healing is the pain is so great from this choice that the thought of opening up even more and kind of uncovering the pain just sounds unbearable. But here's the catch. You're either going to carry the pain from the memory and the heartache and the impact it's had on your life, or you're going to start the healing process and deal with the pain and look at it. And then that pain becomes less and less and less as you process it and go through. And I find that so fascinating. The very thing that we should be really stepping into and dealing with is what keeps us from doing it, because we don't want to hurt anymore. You don't want to open up that pain. So
it's a difference between an open wound and a scar. That's why I used the analogy of surgery before. Surgery doesn't sound fun. They're cutting you open with a knife. You're going to be in pain. They have to give you painkillers. But they're healing you of your affliction. Now, the same thing, when people have had things happen to them, they are going to carry around that emotional pain the rest of their lives. Do you want to carry it around by facing the truth and turning your open wound into a scar? You'll always have a scar, but better to have a scar than an open wound. Or do you want to carry that pain around with this lie going with it, saying, yeah, you feel horrible and you should feel horrible because you're this horrible person?
Yes.
So you're going to carry it around anyway. You may as well carry it around understanding the truth.
That is true. And I can honestly say now, it's been about 11 years since you took me through that process. And I can honestly say that I do not carry around that pain. I can't even put into words how deep that pain was. I don't carry that around. Do I still have regret for my choices? Absolutely. Do I still wish I had done something else?
Everybody listening right now has made choices they regret, and it'll always be that way.
Truly. So it's not like I don't have any more feelings about it, but I can truly say I do not buckle or become undone emotionally anymore when I am talking about my abortion past, because God has healed me so far from that. And he's brought me to a place where I would have never thought God could take my abortion past and turn it into the ministry he's turned
into.
And
I've seen the effect this has had on women. We'll be at church and women who were just on your retreat, they come up to you. I see the way they're hugging you and just how much they admire you and appreciate what you've done. It's opened up such a ministry that you've been able to do.
Yes,
so
it has.
I like the title of your retreat, From Grief to Gladness. You were able to take your grief, and we're told that God works all things together for good.
He truly does.
We're talking about a horrible experience, but the good that has come with it is the remarkable emotional healing people could have. And then there's a camaraderie that all of you have on these retreats.
Yeah, and I do want to say something about that when you were talking about women coming up, because this is a highly confidential retreat and the Bible study, even though Skyline Church.
We're not going to give a list of names of everybody who came up?
Of course not. Absolutely not.
I saw Susie come up. No, not really.
But
there's no Susie.
Skyline Church does just sponsor this ministry. They have been so supportive over many, many years now, but they don't even know who attends the retreat. They don't know who attends the Bible study.
And yet they're willing to fund it. That's very much to their credit.
Absolutely. That is what I just find just so fabulous, is that Skyline supports us, but they understand the importance of the confidentiality. So anybody who's listening, when Bob says people come up to me, here's the deal we make with everyone, is that it is confidential and we will never tell anybody your story or even that you were in our ministry. We don't even reveal how we know different women. I'm in lots of different ministries at Skyline. So somebody coming up to me could be in any number of ministries that I work in. But we tell them, if you want to tell other people, it is your story to tell if you want to. And we do have women that are so relieved after the retreat or the Bible study that when they see you, they do want to tell you. I'm one of the ones.
After you confessed to me, you were saying you were never going to tell anybody else.
Oh, I wasn't.
Then when you began to feel that God was calling you to this ministry, you were thinking, boy, do I have the courage? Because how can I minister to others if I don't step forward and explain my own story?
And that was all God. And I can tell you that I really honestly believed, first of all, that I was going to go to my grave with this as a secret that you weren't going to know. Once I realized I had to tell you, I still wasn't going to say anything else. And then when God started calling me to this ministry, I was trying to figure out, how do I do this ministry without my face being seen? And then finally, God brought me to a place of courage. And it's all his courage and his grace that allows me to be able to say this publicly, because I know what God is waiting to do for women.
Well, you've done a wonderful job, and it's been a wonderful ministry.
Thank you, sweetheart. I
appreciate
that. I
want to thank
that.
You for coming on. Now, since you're officially the host, probably you should be the one to say goodbye and officially sign off instead of me. We may as well do this thing right.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. This has been the Bob Siegel Show with Dana Siegel as the co-host.
No, and you got to say Dana Siegel making the obvious if you're going to really do it right. You got to give the correct signature.
That's your tagline. Anyway.
All right, this is Dana and Bob.
Making the obvious obvious. Thank you. Have a great week, and Bob will be back.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.